This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Happy weekend, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings. As the show says, we try to give you a new chapter in your life. It's a new beginning. And with us right now is our co-host on the program, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders, and we all want to be a contender. If you'd like to reach out to Joe McKenzie, you can. You can reach him by phone at 763-438-1621. You can also go online to RippleConnects.com. That's RippleConnects.com. Happy weekend, Joe McKenzie. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Freddie Bell. How are you today?
Unbelievable. And I understand that you have a unique career story to tell this weekend. How does your story begin?
My story begins growing up one of eight kids, not quite knowing what I was going to do in my life until I realized I got into a professional sales opportunity and I learned I could be the best communicator the McKenzie family ever had. And because I was able to take that, I was able to pivot to the credit union industry and then the nonprofit industry. And now as an entrepreneur and now just recently as a nonprofit director, that communication piece has been the linkage all the way through that I learned about myself. But obviously what I listed here is different spots along the way. My wife and I, we raised our triplets to adulthood. That played a big part in my career story as well and why I made those changes. And all of them positive because it helped me to understand how to help people better, how to nurture, how to educate. It became the best me.
Wow. So
that unique career story.
So I asked you about your career story because that's an important part, and we're talking about that this weekend. That's an important part as we look at our job search or we're looking to maybe move up in the organization is being able to articulate and then share that unique career story. Is that correct?
That's correct. By integrating and communicating your career story where there's an opportunity to, that allows that person on the other side of the table or that new organization or someone in your organization to understand the journey that you're on, and that is a career, and that career has a story, and we all have different stories, but sometimes that story can fill in some of the gaps that our resume shows, because if you look at my resume, it's not, I was here, there, did this, did that, but it doesn't tell the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole story, that communication piece or that engagement piece, community engagement piece, that's what I strive to get good at. That's a big part of my own career story that I was able to integrate into my job search. And when I landed that job at the nonprofit that I now lead, my promise to them was, I'm going to be the best communicator that you've ever hired.
Interesting.
And that was the promise I made to the board of directors of my nonprofit.
So
and
how
it was
do you,
because it was a big part of my story.
How do you convince someone that says, well, look, Joe McKenzie, I've invested thousands of dollars in creating this document called my resume, and now you're suggesting that I go back to the drawing board again and incorporate my story? I thought my story was already in my resume.
Well, the resume is obviously a key focal point of your job search, but that unique career story is how you can augment your current job search to maybe unearth something that's in that unadvertised job market that we're not seeing because someone hears our career story or they add to our career story and they say, it sounds like you're on this path. Maybe that clarity piece for you, adds to that job search. Knowing when to integrate your unique career story is key here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to bring a certain amount of finesse to make sure that when you're networking or you meet with your bench of advocates or even interviewing for a job that you use the right specific examples of how that's going to make a difference and why they would hire you. Or what will stand out to that person that you're networking with or building that working relationship with, how they can advocate for you. So you got to bring finesse. You can't tell the same story over and over and over. You just have to be able to take something that's going to be useful and easy to integrate at that point in your job search that adds to the positive, productive journey that is a hiring process.
So what are some key elements that should be in anybody's career story as they're sharing it with someone else?
I think what you've learned about yourself over time. I think we go to school for one thing, and then we realize, in my case, it was I learned how to communicate. I learned how to sell, help people make decisions, and you know, bring those right options. I didn't learn that in my college years. I learned that after my college years. So learning, you know, expressing what you've learned about yourself. Also, one of the things is just your career. We've all had challenges. We've all had setbacks. That how you overcame them without getting too negative about, you know, what happened or someone did something to you, just how you responded to it, how you overcame it, and how you moved on from that, I think that could be integrated into your career story. What are your thoughts on that, overcoming some challenges you may have had in your career in putting that into your story?
That makes a lot of sense, and I think that perhaps in the mind of the employer, it says, well, maybe they can use the same strategies to overcome some challenges that we have here at this particular opportunity.
Excellent point. That's exactly how that integrating that part of your career story may benefit you, because what you just said, Freddie Bell, was that that employer can see how that current situation that they're in, you may be that best person to overcome it.
Everybody, Joe McKenzie with us this weekend on New Beginnings. We're talking about your unique career story. What do you say to that individual who says, well, my story is not all that unique, Joe McKenzie. I go to work every day, stay until 5 o'clock, and then I go home. I don't think anybody wants to hear about my story.
I would tell that person to spend a little bit more time thinking about your career journey and some of the stories or that common linkage that you've seen yourself or what you learned about yourself. I would tell that person to spend more time reflecting upon where they are at and where they want to go. And that would probably be the first step in that. Most people don't stop at the middle of the day to think about it, but many people, as they work their way through their career, do a lot more reflecting on where they've been and where they want to go. So I think we are speaking to an audience that will have that, would want to share some aspects of their unique career story.
Does every career interview always have a space to inject a unique career story?
Not necessarily. With virtual interviews today, I wouldn't think that they're going to be, they're going to allow potentially too much of those opportunities. You just have to have enough, you got to have an eye for it and enough finesse that sometimes you're dealing with other human beings. If they're on point, if they've got 10 interviews that day, you have to pick your spots. And it may not be in an interview, Freddie, that your unique career story moves the needle the most. That might be with your bench of advocates or the people that you're talking to leading up to an interview. Maybe that's the one that sets that positive ripple in action.
Mm. Everybody, Joe McKenzie, we're talking about your unique career story. Is there an aspect of a story? You say you don't want to do the same thing every time. So how do you break this apart to make sure that you're telling the appropriate portion of your story at the right time?
I think listening to and understanding potentially where that employer's at, or someone that you're meeting with knows of an employer or an industry that's in a tough situation. I think you just have to carefully curate certain aspects of your unique career story that mean the most to that industry or that employer, that human being on the other side of the table. You have to be careful to curate the right stories and not wear out the same story.
Well, not wear out the same story. So, you know, my kids tell me that I tell them the same story over and over again. So maybe this is some good news for me. Maybe I need to change my story up a little bit. So finally, does this approach really benefit you in regards to landing the ideal job, Joe McKenzie?
I believe it can if it's done right, because really the ideal job is getting into an environment that you're, you know, the growth and the challenges and the collaboration by really adding to your resume and your career. You may you may find that ideal engagement just by talking about your own career story. And that's I've seen that with how my career's come about. And I know many people have experienced that, but absolutely. I know without it, you may not uncover some of those rich opportunities that we've talked about here or that are out there.
All right. That's Joe McKenzie. We got to leave it right there, but you do some fine work at Ripple Connects, Joe McKenzie.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your child's doctor about staying on track with recommended vaccines during this COVID-19 pandemic.
This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Introducing the New Beginnings Podcast. Featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is tenacity. Tenacity can serve you pretty well. When you push yourself across the finish line or if you complete a project on time, that's tenacity because it can help you succeed. While tenacity is definitely a good thing, sometimes the race is not yours to run. Some projects are better accomplished by slowing down. Sometimes it's better just to wait for that inspiration rather than to force a solution. The key is knowing when to wait for that guidance, when to wait for the ideas, for that success, and the way to move ahead. True tenacity is really a blend between moving forward and waiting for that great inspiration to come. Our point of focus is tenacity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, all you have to do is visit me at www.freddiebell.com or call 888-639-9738. Or you can reach me by email. It's freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and I'm so glad you're with us this weekend on New Beginnings. And disappointed listening, especially now in the times that we're going through, we're not quite to the end of the road yet with regard to COVID-19, but it's certainly better than it was this time a year ago. Recently, I heard that Dr. Michael Osterholm say that people who had the single dose, the J&J shot, should consider getting a Pfizer or Moderna shot as well, to be protected against the Delta variant, I should say. And he went on to say that having these two different shots would not be harmful. It's especially important, he says, that if people who are immunocompromised should do this, he even vetted this out further to say that in his 18-member group, if you remember, Dr. Michael Osterholm advises President Biden. He did that before Biden became president, and he does it now. And he says his peers all agree. With us right now is the Assistant Commissioner for COVID-19 Vaccine Equity, the director, Dr. Nathan Chomolo. And he's been working in the state of Minnesota for quite some time, especially on this topic of vaccine and vaccine equity. In your opinion, Dr. Chomolo, is Dr. Osterholm on point, the epidemiologist, or should we trust the what we're seeing in just recent days that the Johnson & Johnson single dose does protect against the Delta variant?
Well, thanks again for having me on, Freddie. I think it's important to start with the clarification that there's currently no recommendations from the Minnesota Department of Health or the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, for people who have already been fully vaccinated. So either the one dose Johnson & Johnson or the two dose Moderna or Pfizer shots available here. There's no recommendation for someone who's been fully vaccinated to receive another vaccine dose or a booster dose of any type of vaccine. And so while certainly there's scientists who are trying to think about the next steps, we have a process in place that is really intended to ensure the safety and effectiveness of these vaccinations. And so if someone were to go to a clinic, very, very unlikely that you would find someone willing to give you that booster shot because it would be doing it off-label and open them up to potential liability. And so I think, you know, it's important to kind of be able to look at the evidence as it emerges and make decisions, but also do it within, you know, the structures and systems we have in place.
Everyone, we're talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the Assistant Commissioner for the COVID-19 Vaccine Equity Direction in Minnesota, the Department of Health. And I'm just curious, so what about people who are immunocompromised and they're concerned about how difficult this variant, Delta variant, seems to be? Can you put their concerns to rest?
Well, you know, what I can say about the Delta variant is, you know, the shots that we have available all do have evidence of being, you know, very effective even against the Delta variant. And so if you have received your completed series of any of the shots, they do seem to be in small studies, granted, but they do seem to be effective against the Delta variant. And so when it comes to our community members who might be immunocompromised or at risk due to other medical conditions, you know, what we really need to be continuing to focus on is with the doses we have available, you know, not boosters at this point, but how do we get everyone vaccinated? Because if you are in a area where there's a lot of folks that are vaccinated, your risk of the Delta variant is relatively low compared to areas where the places in the country we are seeing outbreaks right now are places that have low immunization rates, where not many people around are vaccinated. So there are things you can continue to do, you know, continue to try to make sure if you're getting in groups together that trying to make sure everyone around you has been vaccinated. If folks haven't, continue to wear masks, distance, continue to wash your hands after interactions, and continue to help protect yourself those ways as well. But I think really the messages that we need to continue to hear from leaders is how can we continue to get our vaccination rates up? Because that's what's ultimately going to protect us from the Delta variant or any other variant to come.
Interesting. 74% of those who are unvaccinated are saying that they will not get a COVID shot. What does that mean for the rest of those individuals who have received shots with any one of the three, Moderna, Pfizer, or J&J?
Well, at this point, it means if you've received your vaccine, you know, you're protected. And, you know, what we are seeing right now in the rates of hospitalizations and deaths is that the folks that are, you know, really suffering these severe complications of COVID-19 are those who have not been vaccinated. And so even though there have been reports of you know, breakthrough infections, the chances of those breakthrough infections causing someone to get really ill are extremely low. And so really it's the folks who haven't been vaccinated that are at risk. If you've been vaccinated, you know, you are really have protected yourself. You're protecting your community. Certainly continue to monitor the development of any, you know, potential variants, but, you know, feel pretty good about your protection. And, you know, you can continue to augment that with, again, masking if you're in indoor spaces where you don't know the vaccinated status of others. And then just continuing to ask and talk to your people in your community, because what we know is that the folks that have yet to get vaccinated, they're less likely to listen to me, you know, a doctor that they don't know. Mm-hmm. They're more likely to listen to you, someone in their life that can make the case for why them getting vaccinated is a way to not only help protect them, but help protect you and protect our community.
Everyone, you're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell on your favorite radio station. We've been talking with Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the assistant commissioner. He's really focused on COVID-19 vaccine equity. He is the director of that department. With regard to equity, what is the virus take rate right now in our communities? What's the rate look like right now? And what is your projection for what that will look like in the future?
Yeah, so for our communities, our last point of data was from a couple weeks ago, towards the end of June. And at that time, we saw that for first dose amongst Black Minnesotans, we were at 51% of Black Minnesotans having a first dose. Amongst our American Indian neighbors, 49%, Hispanic neighbors, 54%, and Asian Pacific Islander neighbors, 71%. And, you know, all those numbers are actually notably higher than what we see in an annual flu or influenza vaccination rate. You know, usually we're around anywhere from the 30s to 50%. Sometimes in a good year, we can get up to 60, you know, percent overall. But in most of the time in our communities, we're closer to 30 or 40%. So the fact that we're at 51%, we've had, our community has had the highest increase in vaccination rates week over week for the past month. And so those are all encouraging signs. And, you know, we're continuing to push to see if we can get our community up closer to that 70% marker as well. And also thinking about what it's going to look like for our kids as they return to school to make sure that they're protected when they get back in those settings as well.
We're heading into the fall. Our final question for you this weekend. We're heading into the fall. We just noticed that the Twins are at full capacity. Football season is just right around the corner for us. And I know we hate talking about winter at this time of the year. But if it were you, would you feel comfortable going to a sold out Minnesota Vikings game, given what we know right now and what the trend tends to be, or seems to be at this point?
Yeah, so I think that remains a personal decision for a number of reasons. I'll give my personal example. You know, I have a 4-year-old at home who's not old enough yet to get a vaccine. And so I don't think I would be comfortable going into the situation, because even though I am very comfortable going there by myself and knowing that I'm very unlikely to get very sick, let alone sick at all from COVID-19 because I'm vaccinated, there is a chance that I could still bring that back home. Things like mass events often would have people from different parts of the country or even different parts of the world who could be bringing in, you know, different variants. And so I think those are all things that I would take into consideration. So, you know, right now, I wouldn't feel comfortable going to an indoor venue. An outdoor venue, I think I would feel much more comfortable. And we actually are Loons ticket holders and hope to go to a Loons game here in a couple of weeks. But you know, indoors, I think, is a little bit different still. And then certainly depending on, you know, how they do crowd control, how they do flow, things of those that I'll be watching pretty closely. So it really is a personal decision based off of who's in your life, who's potentially put at risk, and, you know, and what's going on, not only in Minnesota, not only in the U.S., but really around the world.
Do you have a final thought this weekend, Doctor?
Yeah, just continue to, you know, please have those conversations with folks who have yet to get their vaccine, because really the way that we don't have to worry about any of these variants is, you know, by getting our community rates up as high as possible. And then, you know, really helping to ensure that everyone has the right information that they need, and really focus on getting those vaccines out more so than, you know, talks about boosters or things at this point.
That's Dr. Nathan Chomolo. He is the assistant commissioner, and he's focused on COVID-19 vaccine equity. He's their director from the Minnesota Department of Health. and you're listening to New Beginnings.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell. And as often as we can, we try to take time on New Beginnings to talk about your money. And I know that's really important. And this is the first of several conversations I want to have with you about your money. And we've enlisted James Royal. He's from Bankrate.com to help us in this discussion. We know that more than half of Americans feel that they just aren't saving enough for retirements, that according to a 2019 Bankrate survey. But for those who have fallen behind, it's always a great time to take stock of your 401k plan and get moving on ways to set you up for greater wealth and financial security in your golden years. A 401k is an employer-sponsored account that allows you to defer the taxes on your investments until retirement, in case you didn't know, meaning that you can roll up more money faster. And as a bonus, a lot of employers contribute matching funds to encourage you to save, offering you free money, for example, for something that's already good to do. The biggest mistake that we can do is not saving for retirement at all. That's according to Kevin Driscoll, who is the vice president of advisory service at Navy Federal Financial Group. He says if you're not investing in your retirement at all, you're leaving money on the table, and I know nobody wants to do that. Anyone, he says, can take control of their finances. It just requires a proactive effort. Bankrate spoke with a number of financial experts to break down the top ways to set up your 401k to thrive in 2021 and beyond. And so over the next several weeks, we'll be outlining five different actions that focus on small changes, and then you can let the stocks do what they do best, go up over time and make you more money. Here's the first step that you can do, something you can do right now. The best advice, according to the folks we've been talking with, is to resolve to act now. Even if your contributions are small, even if they're modest, it's important to take action right now. Many workers set up or adjust their retirement plans as the new year begins, but you can establish or adjust your plan at any time that you choose. The new year is a time to review retirement savings goals and to make sure 401k benefits are maximized. That's according to Ed Farrington. He's the executive vice president at Nectasis Investment Managers. Nectasis surveyed Americans with access to a 401k and found that they understand the value of investing for the future, even if they don't always do it. The 2017 survey also found that millennials, for example, are buying homes, raising families, and paying off school debt. Only one in four is focused on retirement planning, Farrington says. The same survey reveals that baby boomers' biggest regret about retirement preparation is that they didn't start sooner. The more time you give your money to grow, the greater its returns are likely to be over time. So, our takeaway today in this space, as we talk about smart moves to make in 2021 to maximize your money, is to act now. Get your 401k in order and start investing. If you'd like more information about how you can start, you can contact your financial advisor. There are also a number of online retirement calculators you can use to determine what kind of money that you'll have when it comes time to retire. Hi, everybody. I'm Freddie Bell, and right now it's time for that mid-year review. What am I talking about? I'm talking about your finances, and it's always a wonderful time to get together with you to talk about money from time to time. A mid-year financial review is often a good idea, and this year is almost essential. With people going back to offices, travel resuming, and Congress making significant changes to various laws affecting our finances, we might want to consider taking some time to check in on our money. You might be able to find some smart moves to reflect the new realities. Number one is budgeting. We need to see where our money is going right now. Perhaps by using a budgeting app or taking a close look at recent bank and credit card statements, we can help to get a better picture of what that budget looks like. And then we need to think about our expenses that we could be facing in the near future. If we're using our car more now, for example, we might be already paying more for gas and insurance, but we could also face higher costs for maintenance or repairs. If you have children, you might plan for back-to-school costs, sports equipment, and activity fees. Vacations, travel, and weddings and other celebrations may need to be budgeted for as well. There's nothing better than a great budget. It could also make sense to trim some costs so that we can afford these resurgent expenses. One possibility is to rotate our streaming services and other subscriptions. These may have sustained us during the lockdowns, but we could also put some on pause now to save money while we continue to enjoy others. Perhaps you have more income. Maybe you're back to work after being unemployed, or maybe you are a parent about to get that first of 6 monthly child tax credit checks from the IRS. Now, these payments will be up to $300 per eligible child starting July 15th. And making a plan for this income can ensure it goes where you want it to, rather than dribbling away in unplanned purchases. Number 2 is debt forbearance. Forbearance on federal student loans is scheduled to end this fall, with monthly payments resuming in October. Now, if those payments would be a hardship, it's important to contact your lenders to see if income-driven repayment plans or other measures could help. We're talking about your money this weekend. It's time for that mid-year review. If you've requested forbearance on a mortgage payment or other debt that has expired, it's a good time to take a look at that as well. And how about those flexible savings accounts? Congress more than doubled how much employees can contribute to flexible spending accounts for child care in 2021. Workers can put in a maximum of $10,500. That's up from $5,000 in 2020. The limit for health care FSAs remain at $2,750, and this year you are also allowed to make mid-year changes to your contributions to either account. Your employer must opt in to these changes as well. We're talking about the mid-year review. We've looked at budgeting, we looked at debt forbearance, flexible spending accounts, the FSAs, and health insurance. If you buy your own insurance, you might be able to get a better deal on the Affordable Care Act exchanges now that Congress has expanded the subsidies, reducing costs for most people. If you don't already have ACA coverage, there's currently a special enrollment period that ends August 15th. If you get unemployment benefits at any point during 2021, you can qualify for a zero premium comprehensive policy. COBRA coverage to extend an employer health insurance plan is also free from April through September. And also retirement planning. Companies with 401ks are now required to let part-time workers contribute if they have worked more than 1,000 hours in 1 year or 500 hours over 3 consecutive years. It's important to contact your financial advisor or financial planner. Contact your employer, too, for more details. And Congress has also eliminated the age limit for making contributions to IRAs, so you can contribute past age 70 and a half as long as you've earned income such as wages, salaries, commissions, or self-employment income. And also, the age that typically triggers required minimum distributions from retirement accounts has been moved from 70 and a half to 72 for people born after June 30th, 1949. And as we're talking about your money at this mid-year point, it's also important to talk about your 401k. Bankrate spoke with a number of financial experts to break down the top ways to set up your 401k in order for it to thrive this year and beyond. And this is the second step. We talked about the action step. Action two is to grab all the free cash you can. To get started on a tangible level, it's important to take a look at companies' 401k options. That, according to Kevin Driscoll of Navy Federal Financial Group. He says many companies offer an incentive match encouraging you to invest part of your paycheck into a retirement fund. He says whatever they match, put that percentage into your retirement fund because it's free money. The incentive match is one of the best parts, maybe the single best, of the 401k plan. And the employer match is the easiest, safest money you could ever make, offering you an immediate return for doing what you need to do anyway. Many employers will match 50% of your contribution, and sometimes as much as 100% up to a certain amount. A few employers will even do better than that, although many employers don't offer a match at all. Make sure that you have contributions enough to get the full company match that, according to Kirk Kinder, he's a certified financial planner at Picket Fence Financial in Bel Air, Maryland. He says there isn't any legitimate reason not to get the full match. We're talking about making the most of your 401k. Action step number 3 is to get more aggressive. If you have a long time until you retire, you are probably going to be better off having a portfolio that's more aggressive, he says. That means your portfolio will likely have more stocks in it and fewer fixed income investments such as bonds and CDs. He says, as a matter of fact, if you are more than a decade away from retirement, it could be a huge mistake to be too conservative. Over time, a diversified portfolio of stocks can return more than a typical bond portfolio. The Standard & Poor's 500 index has gained an average of about 10% annually for decades. And with retirees living longer than ever, they are going to need to ensure their investments offer a high rate of return. Many 401k plans have target date funds that automatically shift your aggressive assets into safer ones as you approach your retirement date. These target date funds can be a good solution for investors who don't want the hassle or the headache of managing their own portfolio. Mark Wilson says he's a big fan of target date funds. He is the founder and president at Mile Wealth Management. Most of these are well diversified, wisely built, and auto rebalanced. Unfortunately, he says he often finds that they are too conservative. Wilson recommends using a target date fund that is 10 to 15 years longer than when you expect to retire. We've talked a lot this weekend about your money on New Beginnings, and it's really important to do that mid-year review. Just to recap, this is a good time to take a look at your financial setting, take a look at that budget and see where your money is going now. Using a budgeting app or taking a close look at recent bank and credit card statements can help you. And then think about the expenses that you might face in the near future. The second point is debt forbearance. Forbearance on federal student loans is scheduled to end this fall, with monthly payments resuming in October. Now, if those payments can be at hardship, it's important to talk with that lender. The next point that we're making is having a flexible savings account. Congress more than doubled how much employees can contribute to flexible spending accounts for child care this year. Workers can put in a maximum of $10,500. That's up from $5,000 last year. The other point is health insurance. If you buy your own insurance, you might get a better deal on the Affordable Care Act exchanges now that Congress has expanded the subsidies, reducing costs for most people. If you don't already have ACA coverage, there's currently a special enrollment period that ends August 15th, so it's important to act quickly. And finally, what we've been talking about all weekend is retirement planning. Companies with 401ks are now required to let part-time workers contribute if they have worked more than 1,000 hours in a year or 500 hours over 3 consecutive years. You need to talk to your employer for more details. And finally, Congress has eliminated the age limit for making contributions to IRAs. So now you could contribute past the age of 70 and a half as long as you've earned income from things such as salaries, wages, commissions, or self-employment income. And also, that age typically triggers required minimum distributions from retirement accounts has moved from 70 and a half to 72 for people born after June 30th, 1949. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell. It's so much fun talking about your money, because I know that money is a source of a lot of good things that can happen to you and your family. Stay right there. We'll be right back with more as New Beginnings continues.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Here's your host, Freddie Bell, as he welcomes career expert Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects.
Joe McKenzie, how can we avoid the myopic career search?
We can avoid the myopic job search by looking at your career, looking back, look at your marketable skills and your pattern of achievement, and bring those forward to see what's marketable today. And that will help you avoid the unimaginative, narrow-minded, short-sighted approach to a job search. Bring those attributes, those accomplishments forward, and I'm confident that you're going to find new opportunities out there that you may have never thought of.
For more information, how can we reach Joe McKenzie of Ripple Connects?
You can contact me directly at 763-438-1621. 763-438-1621. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think real possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
Myrtle, in her healing experience that I alluded to, described three steps. Very simple, but powerful in her experience. Step one was she realized a need. She needed healing if she was going to stay on this planet, as she put it. So she went to God, recognizing that presence of God in her as life, and saying, if I will but praise it, rather than criticizing it, by saying, oh, I'm weak, I'm sickly, I'm getting up in years, you know. No, but praise that life. It would bring forth healing power, and so it did. Her second step was, she realized it wasn't just about her prayer request for healing. She realized God's intention was that she be enlightened, awakened, to all of the powers God created within her, to call them forth into action, into expression. A few years later, her husband Charles would speak about them and write about them in a way that came down to us in these very windows of the 12 divine powers within us, that we can call through affirmation and acting upon, and they will empower us, make a difference in our life, and by extension, a difference in our world. So that was her second step. Her third step was realizing this isn't just about me, as we might say in contemporary talk. What I have discovered, I have a responsibility to share with others and to support them. Her way was in prayer and encouraging people to spend daily time in silent devotion, meditation, contemplation, prayer. We have many spiritual practices these days that are all tools for us. But just work with some tool in your life for your well-being and by extension, what you can bring into your world. Now again, if you use common sense, often when there is a pattern established in the beginning of an organization, you will see it recur over and over as that organization or community grows and expands. And so I think we can find those three steps in the development of unity over the last 132 years. First, there was a need. People came to the Fillmores in Kansas City. In the 1890s, they said on record that Charles prayed and worked with 40 people a day. And then in a little parentheses, it said, Mrs. Fillmore worked with more. I like that. Charles worked with 40. Mrs. Fillmore saw more people each day to teach them affirmative prayer and how they could bring good change to their life and their world. So there was that first step in the unity movement, a need. People came to unity. In the early years, they came for healing. Healing was the main focus. Healing of body, emotions, and mind. But in time, and especially by the 1930s with the Depression, there was a focus in unity upon the principles of prosperity. Charles was encouraging people to use these principles of God's infinite abundance and see how they work through their life to bring them in a greater, more beneficial state of affairs. The third step, excuse me, I didn't finish. The second step, this focus on prosperity, but there was also a focus on awakening beyond the healing of your physical body, but awakening to all that you could be. And that was when teachings such as the 12 powers, different ways to develop yourself into a greater version, a more powerful version of who God created you to be. And then that third step. As Myrtle went forth in the world to try to help others, and in her time before she said, I think I can work better from the other side, she said goodbye to the Unity staff, which numbered about 600 in 1931. And she went to her little cottage at Unity Village that was just a retreat, famous for having no kitchen, because her son who designed it said, I don't want mother to have to make meals and take care of it. This is her place of retreat. So she went there and worked in her rose garden for 2 days and then passed peacefully in her sleep as she stepped out of this physical world to continue her work in the spiritual realm. In those final years, they only have records because it was a matter of confidence. They only have records of her letter writing in the last 3 years of her life. But there were about 10,000 individual letters she wrote of encouragement to people who turned to unity. So this same third step in our unity movement, this reaching out, is kind of the cutting edge of unity today. Unity centers and those who follow unity are saying, how do we show up in the world with these teachings of hope, encouragement? How do we assist people in need? And so there has been a growing concern with social help, social concerns of all kinds. What can we do in the world? Now, it wasn't that the Fillmores didn't do that. Their ministry in Kansas City during the Depression had a Thanksgiving dinner project, and they took out dinners to Kansas City families each Thanksgiving, numbering in the thousands. So they were aware of social work in their day and very concerned about it. But now our movement is taking a greater interest, and we'll speak about it a little more next week. For this coming week is the Unity Annual Conference. Of course, it's all online, this year, as is often the case, but there will be much talk about what unity can do in a greater and greater way in helping the social concerns of our world.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
If you're ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. Visit RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. Go to RippleConnects.com.
The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, Minnesota Family Investment Program, MFIP, and WIC Nutrition, along with other available programs, can help you buy food while budgets are tight. SNAP, MFIP, and WIC benefits can help families access additional support as well, including health screenings, emergency assistance, nutrition education, and employment training. Apply online at applymn.dhs.mn.gov. This message is powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.